and welcome to our Lone Star Podcast. This is our show for Wednesday, July 29th. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the little house on the east side, sitting at the kitchen table once again, and very happy to be joined by a man who's gotten a lot of airtime this summer. I think every time I've turned on the TV during the racing day, I've gotten to see his face, no doubt, in a wild and fun shirt. More on that in a little bit. He is in Saratoga Springs himself, coming to us from the shadow of the Spring Street Deli, but he's a Texas man at heart. He's the people's champion, Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, JK?
They have a sandwich at the Spring Street Deli called the Dale Romans, and we saw Dale Romans walking out of there the other day, so I'm curious if he got...
Did he get a Dale Romans? Is that allowed?
I mean, he surely had to have, right?
You would think it would be specifically named after him. What are some of the other good ones they have in there?
They got a Todd Pletcher. I don't know what's on that one. I get the sea biscuit. It's like a grilled chicken with bacon and cheese and like a Cajun mayo. I get that one. Casey accidentally got me the Secretariat yesterday, thinking I said the sea biscuit, which I did not enjoy.
I know there's a citation that I liked back in the day, but the real question, JK, is what would be on the Jonathan Kinchin sandwich?
Oh, wow. You know that we would probably do like a grilled chicken with bacon and cheese and then maybe honey mustard instead. We'll switch up the game on him there with lettuce, maybe some jalapenos. We'll see.
I like it. I like the sound of that. I'm assuming you're dining there regularly. You got to make this happen. You got to go in there very conspicuous to get recognized. You got to, you know, put on one of the shirts and stroll right in. It should be fine. I did notice it was that thing that always makes me crazy. When we were out in town the other night, there were several people whose heads turned to look at you as if you were, you know, some sort of high fashion model strolling the streets of Saratoga. I'll admit, I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
It's better than the last time we were walking together when you yelled at Dallas Stewart about one of his folks not being very good. It took me almost a year and a half to get him to say hello to me again.
I do feel bad about that, Dallas. You deserve better. You deserve better than my failed attempts at humor walking on Caroline Straight. Let's talk about this early double for Wednesday, JK. I know you've got a strong opinion. I thought it was an interesting couple of races. We kick off with our first race. We've got three and up maiden claimers for the $20,000 level going 1 mile on the turf. I'm going to let you kick this one off. What do you want to do in here?
Yeah, we got to see what happens to the weather. It looks like there might be a little moisture in the area. But either way, grass or dirt, I want Tap Solution for Steve Asmussen. This horse has been single digits in every start of the career, now drops in for the claiming 20 down at Lone Star. And I just felt like this horse was going to be extremely tough in here. And the price should be okay, because I would imagine that the 11 and the 12 are both going to take some money. Camps Bay switching to Deodoro. This horse has had five opportunities running for a tag and hasn't necessarily got the job done. Is the drop to 20 gonna be the thing that gets this one over the edge? Sure, maybe, but outside post doesn't have a lot of early speed. You got to think this one's gonna have to circle wide and lose ground. The 12 Sedona Sunset for Gustafson, who's winning at 34% at the meet. And this is another horse that was entered at Louisiana Downs on July 4th for 12.5 and scratched when that race came off the turf. So obviously they don't think a ton of this horse to enter for 12.5. Now shows up here with two formidable foes that we had already mentioned in a race for 20 and drawn outside as well. I'll try to beat this one because you got to think that the tote board should reflect the clip that Gustafson is winning at. So ice cold for me with the 5 Tap Solution and Steve Asmussen.
We're reading each other's mail on this one. I was against the two outside horses for the same reason and really thought that the 5 Tap Solution was the way to go. Love the fact that this one has plenty of pace against not the strongest group in the world. And I love the fact that the races 2 and 3 back are faster than the figure par. It sounds like it might be as simple for us anyway as Tap Solution to lead them on a merry chase. Is there anything you like at any more of a price to get in, perhaps for underneath in this spot, or are you just going to stick to the double and be done with it?
Yeah, I was planning on just sticking to the double. You know, obviously, you got to see what happens with the surface. There's some opportunities that could probably arise if it comes off the turf. But, you know, the way that it stands now, the only one that I thought was Tap Solution. The rest of them were, you know, I guess you could try to make a case for the Broberg horse. That horse is going to take a little bit of money off that 15-1 warning line. That was pretty much it for me, just the Asmussen runner.
Yeah, I was having trouble getting creative, and you're right. If it does come off, obviously, we'll reevaluate for the underneath spots, but I still think Tap Solution would make an absolute ton of sense. Let's move on to our second race. We've got $7,500 claimers, three and up, going 1 mile on the dirt, three and up fillies and mares, a field of eight in here. And I did think there was a standout. I'm curious if your standout is the same as mine. I did also have an idea for a backup, but I'll let you go first again. How are you going to close out this Wednesday early double at Lone Star Park?
Yeah, I really like the six formula for Steve Asmussen. And it's a situation where the four upgrade me for Carl Broberg is probably going to be bet in here as well. You know, Broberg's had this horse for the last two starts running against maiden 12 fives. And they're both of those races were off the turf. So he's essentially a dirt horse running against turf horses. And he wired them last time, 1 by 7. The figure wasn't particularly fast. People are going to bet that horse off of that effort. I thought formula made sense. Got the win for Stanley Huff up at Churchill on the dirt. And then Steve tried him on the turf. And that was fine. Horse ran fine in there. But now drops a little bit in class. And just from a figure standpoint, this horse lays over. I got a 93 time form US last time on the turf. The other horse, the four upgrade me, has gotten 78 and 76. So even if formula takes a couple steps back, moving back to the dirt from the turf, let's say he takes 10 points back, he's still running an 83, which is better than the last two races for the four. Give me the six, who's drawn to the outside of the four formula.
She looked the best to me by far as well. Equally adept on turf and dirt, I thought. So if we are in that come off situation, this one doesn't change. Dropping significantly, just had the best races, I thought, it should be finishing best. I didn't love the four, and I thought that Contendress will definitely keep this pace honest. And I was considering trying to use Contendress as best of speed, but did a little digging. You know, Diodoro's numbers are so good all over the map, but when you look at sprint to route, adding blinkers, extremely meh for him. Something like a 10% strike rate with a $1.30 back on $2. I think those two are going to set this up beautifully for formula. And this is a very unusual situation we have here, where we're both stone cold in both legs with the same horses. So I don't know. Maybe I feel like when we agree, there isn't really a mush factor. I feel like when we agree, typically we get better results than when we disagree. Do you think that's right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a lot of people when you have someone whose opinion you respect, when you align, I think it gives me a little bit more confidence. I think some people, they jokingly say, oh, geez. You know, I say it all the time on the show when Andy and I land on the same horse, we look at racing so differently that when we land on the same horse, it's usually for different reasons. And I think that is definitely a sign of you can kind of lean on that situation.
I will say that in TV terms, especially, that it can, I would think if you guys landed on the same long shot, what it might mean is the horse won't actually be a long shot and it might be a bummer in that respect. But I would say overall that your guys' collective acumen would make me feel okay about still backing the horse even in that situation. But I do think sometimes you'll see that when you see all the public handicappers picking one horse, that sometimes they could be picking on a bad morning line or something like that. But in those situations, if I'm doing the 100% job and I'm pricing up the race, I just go with that. And I bet the horse as long as it's at or above the line that I come up with. And if I'm not, you know, if I'm being completely selection oriented, I just go by feel. I mean, there'll be a certain threshold at which I will not bet the horse. It just doesn't feel right anymore. And I'll either pass the race or come up with something else. What do you do in that situation, JK, when you're worried that the value has eroded past the point where the wager makes any sense anymore?
Well, I think that mindset often is tied hand in hand with people that are betting exactas or win bets. And the way that I play, and it's a conversation I had with Andy the other day, pointing out that a Klarovich dropper for Chad had a negative ROI with that stat. And I said to him, well, that's fine. But in this day and age, when there's so many people he won it like 30%, but had a negative ROI. And I said, well, but in this day and age, when people are playing multi-race bets, how do you handle the fact that people can single that horse and that's where his value comes? And that stat of him being a negative win bet ROI doesn't necessarily apply. If he's winning 30 or 40% of the time with these types of horses, that's a pretty strong angle to be able to single, know that horse is going to get his picture taken, and then you can move on to the next leg.
And another point about that is it depends on the rest of the composition of the field, I think. If that same horse, the category might yield a negative ROI, but in that situation specifically, there might be other horses that I believe are canceling out the takeout because I don't think they have any chance whatsoever, and they're getting bet. And you could make an argument that that could even in the win pool push that horse to a positive ROI. So yeah, I would caution against being absolute. And I think that's a great point that the ROI in one pool doesn't necessarily reflect the ROI in another. This is something I've seen very smart people on Twitter talk about that I don't agree, that there can you can be an underlay in one pool and potentially an overlay in another, or at the very least, the horse I want to use to survive to get to my strong opinion somewhere a little bit later in the sequence.
It's all about your betting personality and your goal. So I always tell people, you know, it's that, you know, hey, how should I attack these races? Well, what are you trying to do? Are you going to be pissed off if you lose $20? It's going to ruin your day. If that's the case, then bet a show parlay, you know. But if you're trying to make $10,000, then here's how you should attack it, but you're probably going to lose. So if you are a type of person who wants to just be betting win and that's what you want to do, you want to find four or five horses a day and bet those horses to win, then you don't need to bet those Klarovich droppers.
You know? I think you make some very, very good points. All right, Jonathan, I know you've got the places to go, people to see, as do I, so we're going to leave it here. We're going to have a lot more wagering talk coming up over on our flagship podcast, the In the Money Players podcast. Folks, tune in there. We appreciate everybody tuning in to all these shows. Do us a favor and subscribe, rate, and review us. It helps us. It helps other people find the shows. And if you really want to be a hero, you can subscribe to all the individual shows on the In the Money feed. You can see all of them over there at inthemoneypodcast.com. So we'll do it out of order today. We'll start off with that thank you to the listeners for all of their unending support. I'll thank you, JK, for taking your time to look at these races and share your thoughts with us. And of course, we'll thank our friends from Lone Star Park, without whom we would not be here. We appreciate them as well. That's going to do it. We will be back very soon. May you win all your photos.